And that's the Sunday that every dollar that is given on that Sunday will be totally devoted to mission work. And that's really what we talked about last week, the great things that have happened in the past and the things that that we are planning to do in this year. And we'll focus more on the things that we're going to be doing this year, and because that's an important part of what we're trying to do. And then after the closing prayer, we'll have a brief period of time that will involve every one of us in the sending off of these missionaries. In Acts chapter 13, the church assembled, and they sent off their missionaries. And if you were not here when we did that with Josh and Kara, you missed a great, great Sunday, one that was memorable, and I think this one today will be equally of that very, very nature. But I want to introduce the matter of Mission Sunday and about our involvement in it by talking about heaven's plan. It's a plan of love. It's a love plan for the salvation of the world. Heaven is concerned about the lost world. You think about John chapter 3 and verse 16 and Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And in those verses, he shouted out heaven's concern about getting the gospel to the whole world. You know John 3:16. I don't have to quote to you John 3:16. The verses that precede it talk about that time in the wilderness when Moses lifted up that serpent and those who had been bitten by those serpents were saved by the lifting up of that serpent if they followed God's plan. And then he says, and so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And that's really what is involved in our life and in our relationship to the Lord, and that is, in a figurative way, lifting up the Son of Man as He literally was lifted up on that cross. And the background of all of this is verse 16, probably the most familiar verse in all the Bible. Here's the passage that says, heaven is concerned about the whole world. God so loved. I don't have to finish the rest of the verse. You know the rest of the verse. But think about those words. God loved, but God so loved. Now you read the rest of that verse or in your mind quote the rest of that verse. Let me ask you, would you give your son to die for those pagans and those immoral and ungodly people who were spitting in the very face of Jesus? God so loved. Heaven is concerned about the salvation of the world. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he came and he lived his life and he was abused. He had no place to even lay his head. Somewhat like those people down there in Haiti, if you'll stop and think about it. The birds have their nests and the foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And then he stood there, knowing he had the power to call those legions of angels and keep himself alive. And he could have come off of that cross at the chiding of those who stood at the foot of the cross, and he didn't do it. And he stood there and he let them smite him in the face and scourge him. Why? Because heaven longs for the world to be saved. And the very heart and the summation as to why Jesus came is found in one brief verse in the book of Luke. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, not only is heaven concerned about the lost, but within the kingdom of God, there are those individuals who have a burning desire. They are those missionaries that have a desire to preach the word. Those who go to foreign lands are not taking a world tour and not taking a holiday and going and seeing other parts of the world, and how wonderful it is that they're able to take a 2-year or a 5-year vacation and just go out and see all of the world. As one who spent 10 years in the mission field, I want you to know the sacrifices that are made by those who are missionaries. And two verses come to mind when I think about the heart of a missionary in biblical times and the heart of many of the missionaries that I know. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, the very desire of my heart and the very prayer of my lips is that Israel might be saved. I thank God that there are those men and their wives and family that are willing to be able to, willing to give up all the comforts and all of the grandeur of this land to go into a land of loneliness and heartache and discouragement and hardship. And Paul so longed for the world that he said, "You want to open up my heart and see what's in there? Engraved on the most tender part of my heart is a burning desire for the salvation of the world." And he mentioned specifically his own nation. You look in the previous chapter, chapter 9, and he says, "I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart." What for, Paul? That Israel might be saved. And then hear the heart of a missionary. "I could wish that I were anathema," the Greek word. "I wish that I were accursed." The word anathema means cut off from Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For my brethren's sake, I would go to hell. I would give my life and I would give my soul. I could wish myself accursed for Israel, that they might be saved." That's the heart of a missionary. And the third aspect of God's plan for evangelism of the world involves the church. It involves me and you. And what we need to do is drink deeply of the spirit of love for the lost of these missionaries who come our way, that they have for us and for the lost. And that we might gather from them and drink from their soul and develop within our own hearts that love for the lost. You know, Romans chapter 10 says it all, the scripture that Bob read a moment ago. But look in verse 15 that says, "Here's the lost world, and they cannot be saved if they don't call on the Lord." But they can't call on the Lord if they don't believe in the Lord, and they can't believe in the Lord if they haven't heard, and they can't hear without a preacher, and they cannot preach unless they are sent. There is in this background the concept of God being a part of their sending and the Great Commission that is a part of authorizing and encouraging them to go. But there is in this verse, that's us. How shall the world be saved if we don't have the love for the lost that those missionaries who are willing to go and the Christ who is willing to come and the God who is willing to send? God so loved the world that He sent. And Mission Sunday is the time when we express our love for the lost because we also sinned. You need to understand what a special place I believe this church to be. A place that is involved in going into all the world and preaching the gospel. I thank God that I'm a part of this church. And I'm thankful that, as we pointed out last Sunday, that over the last 6 years on Mission Sunday, this church has given nearly $750,000 to send. Because you see, this church is built on the most solid foundation. And there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which was laid, and that is the deity of Jesus. Before you were baptized, somebody asked you, Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And it's that belief that is within our soul that causes us to look at that lost world and says, yes, that's what I believe in. And the world's got to hear about Jesus. And right at the very heart of the mission work of this church, and it's moved into that place at the very heart of our mission work, the very heart of Mission Sunday, there's a work down in Paraguay. And we prayed that God would help us in this matter of reaching the lost that's there. And right at the very heart of that is this work in Paraguay. Began with Chris Fry, who grew up in this congregation. Thank you, Tim and Beth, for every impact you had in that home that molded and that grew up in this church. A missionary. And then you stop and think about the Black Mercer. And how Josh and Kara and the kids endeared themselves to us the 4 years that they were here. You know, their names and mission work. We talk about Nana, you know, and we talk about Tamuka. We don't have a clue who those folks are. We know who Josh and Kara are. We know who Josiah is and Vivian. And we prayed, God, help us to own a missionary. Help us to have our own missionary. And God, who has heard our prayers, answered it trifold. Not just Chris, who is now under the oversight of this eldership, but here's Josh, and he's our missionary, and encouraged and supported by other congregations just like Chris is. But he belongs to us. And what can we say about Troy and Andrea? Andrea, I don't know how old you were. I've been here 29 years. You must have been about one when I arrived. Happy birthday this week, by the way. You think about the impact that there was in Andrea when she was over on 36th Street and would be a part of this. And her mama was there. And then she marries this weird guy. And he comes and he becomes a part of this church. Guys, what I'm saying is we've got to get these guys down to Paraguay. There's that Paraguay mission team. And there's a lost nation whose life we must impact. We've already made commitments and we're just trying to add on and do more. There's that commitment that we talked about last week to Nana Afogi. Well, there in Nigeria, and there's Tamuka. Remember the inflation rate from that lesson last Sunday of 11.2 million percent per year. And yet he's still preaching. And that's that great association we've had with Marsh Harbor, and a part of the funds of Mission Sunday will be our continuation of that support of that great work. And that's a sister congregation that's over there. And then you look out in the South Pacific and there's Joey Treat and there's Robert Martin. And how much these families, and especially Robert, because of our long association with him, how marvelous it is that they're part of the mission work that we're doing. And when we think about getting the gospel out there to all of the lost around the world, we're the senders. As God sent, so we send. And then there's that work with Apologetics Press. And were you amazed as I was that 4.5 million pages were looked at last year, and 12 books and all those DVDs and children's books and Bible correspondence courses, and we're so much a part of that. And in this county, 17% of this county is Hispanic. It's remarkable, in fact, and I say this just to try to emphasize situation, 16% of the county is black, African American. How would we feel if somebody decided, well, we'll not evangelize the African Americans? We would rise up, every member of this congregation, white and black, would rise up in protest and says they've got souls. Can we not feel the same way about the Hispanics? If the people, Hispanic people in Palm Beach County, don't hear the gospel, who's God going to blame? Folks in North Dakota? And how thankful we are of some of the things that's happening in that Spanish work. And we'll be talking more about that, and I think you'll be really excited as things continue to develop over there. And then there are those teen mission trips. Guys, we love you. And we love the anticipation of you who are sitting over here in junior high being a part of that someday. That's all a part of Mission Sunday, to reach out and touch others. And we've made commitment to all of these individuals that are on the screen right now, and to fulfill the commitments that we've made. Next Sunday, our contribution has got to be $87,900. That's lots of money. And I know times are hard. But I know the world is lost. But there's another thing that we need to have is we've got to have the $87,900 just because we've committed. But we do want to continue heart to heart, do we not? You know, one of the most effective tools we have to reach out and to bring the lost into the Lord is this magazine. We send out thousands and thousands of them every other month. See, he's sitting right here. That's Gorman. You know why Gorman's here? I do. It wasn't because we went out and somebody was Gorman's friend. I don't know if he has any. He's got one at least, okay? And whenever on that card I say, would you please write down how you heard about this church? And we've got to raise the roof. There's so many things we want to do. We've sent out 468,000 heart-to-hearts. And to do that, there's another 13,000 that we need to have. You want to raise the roof a little bit higher? There's those special requests that come where people say, I'm going on this mission trip. Can you help me go? We've done that for years. Some of you have been recipients of those kinds of monies. And those letters from Temuka has touched our hearts that the elders have said, I wish there's some way. We only give them, I think, $175 a month. I wish we could give them a little bit more. Remember that inflation rate. And continue those mission trips over to Marsh Harper, and not just being able to send a check to support their preacher over there, but to continue to be going over there and doing those Bahamas mission trips. And there's a request from the church down in Trinidad, a newer congregation down there, that has begged for us to help. We don't have the money to help. And then on top of that are so many other things that we could add to this. To meet these needs, 118,000. Let's get back to where we want to get back. The heart of our work is Troy and Andrea, Josh and Kara, Chris and Vicki. I've asked Josh to come and talk to us. And I guess Troy will come when he gets here, okay?
The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Philippians, acknowledged and recognized the church of Philippi as being extremely important to the mission work that he had in Macedonia. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 14, after he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," he says, "Notwithstanding ye have well done, ye communicated with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." What a beautiful passage of a missionary acknowledging, recognizing, appreciating those who helped him. And we look at what is said in here. It says that they communicated with him. Can you imagine the encouragement that it brought the Apostle Paul as he was in this foreign field? And it says they sent for him, supplied his needs, those gifts and the necessary funds or items that he needed to sustain himself in the field. And it says that those would be a fruit that would be born, a sweet savor. And I think about John, whenever he said that when Jesus said, "Herein, John 15:8, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." That's what we're doing whenever we talk about mission work and taking the gospel to a lost world. Well, brethren, I stand here for Josh, for Chris, and the entire team in Paraguay, telling you that we appreciate you and we acknowledge you and recognize you as being important to our mission work in Paraguay. The same things that the Apostle Paul wrote, we can say about you. You communicated with us. You sent for us, not only in the past, but continue to do so. And what an exciting work and what a great connection. Can you imagine how wonderful this is going to be going forward? That Chris will come back and report. Josh will come back and report. I will come back and report. What a connection. You will have an opportunity to see into some of your brethren in another land better than most people can, because it's typically a line item. And here you have that connection. And we have indeed a desire to do a great work in Paraguay. Let me just tell you quickly some of the ideas that we have and what we want to accomplish. We pray that as of right now, and it's developing, that we will be able to install elders, appoint elders at the church there in Sacramento, in Asunción, possibly deacons after that. We pray that while Josh and I are there in the 5 years, we'll be able to train up an evangelist, the first Paraguayan preacher who can then go out and spread the gospel. We pray that we can develop a congregation that is self-sustaining, self-governing, self-supporting, that will then learn to go out into the surrounding area, just as Palm Beach Lakes is sending us to them, that they will then go to others. And we will assist them in trying to plant other congregations in the surrounding area. Isn't that an exciting work? The gospel having such an impact, the seed growing. And I am so very honored. Andrea and I both are so very honored to be counted among your number, to be your missionary. And I am honored to be a son of Palm Beach Lakes. We have a long history together, you and I. I remember coming to this congregation after meeting Andrea and the prayers that you sent up on my behalf that I would return. And then the development and the spiritual encouragement I received while I was here, and the teaching and the admonishment and the help, and then the support that you provided for Andrea and myself while I attended preaching school. And it's all been continued now, that we will continue this relationship as your missionary in Paraguay. And we are so very thankful to be a part of this congregation, happy to maintain that relationship. It's been a wonderful journey. We're looking forward to the future. The verse that was read earlier in Romans 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they shall not have heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then the part that connects. You see, that's God's design of ordinary men telling other ordinary men about the extraordinary news of Jesus Christ. And then that following verse. "And how shall they preach unless they be sent?" Brethren, make it personal. How shall Troy and Josh and Chris preach unless they be sent by Palm Beach Lakes? We need your help. We pray that you will think about us as you're making your plans for Mission Sunday. We realize it is difficult times. Trust me, I've been trying to raise funds in this difficult time. But please keep us in your prayers. Keep us in your thoughts. There's a lost world out there that needs our help. We're willing to go if you're willing to support us, and we know you are in your hearts. And we pray that you'll do just that.
And how shall they go? I tell you the answer. The answer to the question about how shall they go is you. It's not a building. It's we who love the lost, who that one week of the year manifest our great love. And I don't want to continue to talk about hard times lest we all get discouraged. But you just take each of us adding a little bit more and a little bit more. And I know some of you have lost your jobs. You're not able to give what you gave last year. Some of you have businesses and they're not doing what they've done before. But God has blessed some of you, and you're doing all right. And perhaps it's that individual's, not the widows who are giving already their widow's mites, but it's those of us who are being blessed by God, that God expects more of us. And I just simply ask that you pray, "God, help me to know how much to give. I've got the wrong answer up there." The answer is not you. The answer is us. You take an increase and add that to the increase of another and the increase of another and the increase of another. God help us. And I beg of you, my brethren, with all of my heart, for the sake of lost souls around the world. You may never meet somebody from Paraguay. But I promise you that on the day of judgments and walk in the street of gold, there will be that some individual because of what you've done here, what we have done here at Palm Beach Lakes, who can look to us on the street of gold and say, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. The world is lost. Let's get the gospel to them. We now come to that part of our service where we want to extend the invitation of Jesus. If you're lost, the heart's desire and prayer for this church is that you might be saved. But you're lost if you don't believe in Jesus. Mark 16:16 says, he who does not believe is damned. That's strong language. God damns those who are not believers. But you need to make your mind to follow the Lord, and that's to repent. And it was the will of God that repentance be preached in all the world. And with the confession of your faith in Jesus, Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, you can be that individual who has been made a disciple of the Lord by being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can do that today. If you've wandered away and need to come back, the Lord says, you be faithful unto death. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and then David, with your permission, we'll just omit the last song because of the time. And then we'll have a closing prayer and then just briefly get all of us involved in sending our missionaries out. If you need to respond to this invitation, do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.